Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you coming out after a nice long lunch. Just as a show of hands, I was wondering how many people are familiar with community health centers in the United States? Okay, great. So I'm with the National Association of Community Health Centers, and we represent all federally qualified health centers in the United States as well as health center lookalikes. We promote the provision of high quality, comprehensive, and affordable health care that is coordinated culturally and linguistically competent and community directed for all medically underserved people. So, today my presentation will be on the success of the health center model. I'll start first by talking about the health center model and where it began, and then its start in the United States and how it's progressed over time. And then how we've kind of brought the health center model full circle and started working abroad. So the health center model began late in the 1940s in South Africa. It was started by Emily and Sydney Kark, and it was created out of the Union of South African Ministry of Health. They created three pilot sites, which Emily and Sydney Kark were appointed director of one of those sites. Their pilot site was located in Falela, and they were tasked with creating comprehensive, curative, and preventative services. They first started creating their teams. They had two medical officers, one medical aide, one nurse. They had several assistants, and they usually at least had one local nurse aide. Kark was pretty big on emphasizing the team. He made sure that the team learned survey methods, learned how to work with the community, became a trusted member of the community, and was actually engaged with the people, and the people were engaged with them. Some of the important training opportunities that he provided to his staff was looking at infectious disease, hygiene, health promotion, and nutrition. And this was based off the survey results that they gathered from the community as the most important things that needed to be improved upon. So Kark realized the importance of incorporating clinical services within the sphere of broader social health scheme. He created a cultural role of empirical evidence in evolving the health services, significance of assessing the influence of various environmental factors on people. He identified the cause of the disease from their work with the community to try to reduce it in particular communities. Basically, he implemented the principles of the community-oriented primary care model. By expanding the scope of care beyond patients and into and fulfilling an actual community need. He made sure all data that was collected from the people was eventually incorporated back to the people. The Gluckman Report served as a blueprint for the development of the South African program. And over 5 years, 40 health centers were opened based on this report throughout South Africa. In just 6 years, the Karks were serving about 8,500 people at their health center. Epidemics were controlled through investigation and early case action. They tried to control scabies, as you can see from the figure. And at first, they were trying to work with scabies within the school setting, realized that wasn't effective, and started doing home visits. And that's when they saw this significant drop in 8 years from 52% to 8%. Progress was also made in controlling for syphilis and infant mortality. So, how does this all connect with community health centers in the US? One of Sydney and Emily's Kark's assistants was a man by the name of Jack Geiger, and he worked with them in Falela. And he saw this model and thought, wow, this would be a great model that could be implemented in the United States with all of the health disparities and cultural differences that were going on at the time. He brought the model back to the United States, and through the War on Poverty and Johnson, it was founded in 1965, and the first two health centers were opened in Mississippi and Massachusetts. So what are health centers? Who do they serve? And how do health centers overcome barriers to care? And how do health centers make a difference? Health centers are local, nonprofit, community-directed models of care that are a team approach. They encompass not only a primary care doc, but they have social workers on site, they have smoking cessation programs, they have podiatrists, they have specialty care. They're kind of like a one-stop shop. This model quickly was proved to be effective. They're located in underserved areas. They're a medical home to 18 million people and are growing rapidly throughout the United States. They serve those that would otherwise not have access to any care. Half of our health centers are in rural communities, and about 92% of our patient population are below 200% of the federal poverty level. 36% are on Medicaid, and 40% are uninsured. We tailor our services to the patient's needs, and we're open to all regardless of ability to pay. We improve access to care, we manage chronic illness, we have a proven track record of reducing disparities, providing cost-effective care, and are the only healthcare source for more than 18 million individuals. So these are some of our federal requirements. We're funded by the Bureau of Primary Health Care, and these are some of the things that are required out of us. We have to be located in federally designated medically underserved areas. We have to be of nonprofit, provide community comprehensive primary health care services, provide services to all, and be governed by a community board with a patient majority. And that is one of the keys to the health center program, community governance, and that healthcare is basically governed by the people and not necessarily the providers. So this is kind of a look of what health centers are today. There's about 7,000 sites around the United States, and this is the type of patients that we do serve. So going back to how health centers make a difference, these next couple slides will just briefly show how health centers are impacting the health of our country. So health centers are reducing disparities in access to mammograms, and there's other information that shows that they're reducing disparities in access to pap smears as well. Just to give you an idea of some of our patients, health centers take care of a number of patients in languages other than English, and this does not just mean Spanish. Some of our health centers are solely devoted to Creole patients. It really depends on what area of the country that they're in as to where they're devoted to. So health centers generate an overall impact of $12.6 billion. This is a breakdown by state from one of our most recent reports. They produce overall 143,000 jobs in some of the most economically depressed communities in the United States. And many health centers in the U.S., based on their role and how that we began, started expanding their role abroad. And today I'll talk about one example, and this is Thunder Miss Health Center in Rhode Island, which is an FQHC and has been an FQHC for over 40 years. It serves 26,000 patients and has 250 employees. And that's just kind of what their health center looks like. Every health center, if you visited one, no one health center looks alike. They're all completely different. So why, a lot of people ask, why go abroad when there's so many in need in the United States? Well, healthcare for health centers doesn't stop at the border. It's a great tool for recruitment and retention of physicians and staff, and it's provided some great culturally competent care, especially with Thunder Miss. As you'll see, they started working in Honduras, and most of their patient population is from Honduras. So that has been a great guide for them. So this is Thunder Miss Health Center in Honduras. They provide a number of services, all of which are listed on the side, medical services, dental services, job training, and housing. And basically, they came up with a list of these services based on what the community input was. So each health center abroad is very different, but they're all hiring local staff to support the mission there. Basically, as you can tell from the title, community health centers are community driven, and they need to be supported by the community to be run from the community and from a community perspective, and giving the community what they need. So this is really important to hire local staff. They were able to set up local dental clinic, realizing that dental needs was some of the most important within the community that they're serving. And this is the local community board in Honduras. And the founder of the health center, actually the CEO of Thunder Mist, is actually in that white tank top in the front, who is not on the board, but taking a picture with the board. So how do health centers get started going abroad? First, they make sure that they have interested staff that are interested in global health and think that this will add something to their community health center. Most of them do, especially considering that a lot of our physicians are coming from the J-1 visa programs, and there most of them are actually, in Thunder Mist, for example, most of them are actually from Honduras. So they're going back home to their communities. So they then Thunder Mist searched for organizations that they could work with in that community that actually knew that community better than they did, obviously. They were coming in from the outside. They needed somebody on the ground that could tell them more about it, who to talk to, how the local government works there. So they weren't just coming in and putting their ideals onto somebody else, but it was actually coming from the ground up. And lastly, they clearly had to seek board approval. And every health center can tell you this is definitely the easiest step. So they first organized a community meeting to discuss the local needs and make sure this was something that the community wanted and that there's community buy-in. And I just put this slide in here just to give you an example of how much you can build for relatively cheap there. Their health center there they've brought in a lot of medical supplies from the U.S. And has basically full functioning capacity that their health center in Rhode Island has. So the similarities between the health center in the U.S. and the health center abroad are that they have a governing board, there's a community approach to care, healthcare is used to combat poverty, resources and staff are from the local community. There's teaching and training opportunities of the staff. There's personal development. Primary care is primary care, and people are people. So what CHCs can bring, and sorry, I probably should have told you this at the beginning. So I use community health centers, and federally qualified health centers all interchangeably. They're all the same. They're all federally funded. They all require to report information, they're all required to have those five standards that I spoke about earlier. And health centers are well positioned to work abroad with their clinical experience, their admin experience, their access to capital and fundraising tools, their program development, and their culturally and linguistically competent care. They understand that transformation comes from service, reflection, and struggle. So other health centers are working abroad in countries such as the Dominican Republic, New Guinea, Mexico, and Swaziland. So since health centers are well positioned and have worked for years hand in hand with their community, they see their international work as a natural evolution. So health centers are all around the world, integrated in other developed nations. You've probably heard of health centers in Canada, which is a very similar system to the health centers in the United States. There's also community health centers in China, which is, they're called community health centers. They're kind of different from the United States model of care. There's community health centers in New Zealand. They're all over the place, which speaks to, I think, their success around the world. As we learn more about our international neighbors, we're able to learn from them and gain insight on how to reform and continually improve our systems of care. And the most important is to provide culturally competent care to some of the most underserved Americans. So if you have any other questions, I went through that kind of fast. Feel free to email or call. I'm actually the research and data person at the National Association of Community Health Centers, and I do some of most of our international work as well. So, thank you.
Our last speaker is Prakash Tyagi. He's going to talk about delivering community-based primary health care in the Thar Desert region of India.